Hi, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Hi, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
Freedom. This is what I call freedom.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All righty, here we go. All right, thanks for... Okay, all right, that's enough. All right, thanks for tuning in, folks, to the George Wilder Jr. Show, WTTTY, out of the city of Chicago on this great, great Monday evening. If you're podcasting or listening to the show later, you will know that it's an earlier show, not a later show, that I've been saying for some time now. But anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're starting a brand new week here on the show. And... We're slated to have a whole roster of guests on the show. So make sure you tune in for that you're listening for that. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, 347-857-1762. It is 83 degrees in the city of Chicago. It is some great weather here, folks. And I hope wherever you are in the world that you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show and you are having some great weather also. And I hope you're not bored. I hope you're not depressed. I hope you're not lonely. This show is not about that. This show, when you tune into the George Wilder Jr. Show, this show wants you to be lively, positive, and able to participate. I try to make my show exciting. I know some people out there, oh, that's too loud. Oh, that's crazy. But you know what? I try to make it lively, and I try to produce my show in a way where it's just the beginning of the show, that it uplifts you and makes you feel good and makes you want to do something positive for yourself and for someone else, you know. So that's what this show is all about, making the world a better place. And any kind of way that we can make someone life a little bit better, or it doesn't matter. It does. And we're not talking about money. We're talking about just effort and free time that this show is giving to you to try to make you feel a little bit better as you go on with your day or your evening. You know, that's all it's about. That's all it's about. It's about fun. It's about having a good time, even, you know, listening to the show, having a great time listening, or calling in, participating, and having even more fun. There's been so many times the guests have told me, George, every time they've come on the show and once they're off the show, they've said they've had so much fun. And that means a lot. I know if the guest is having fun, I know you guys out there who are listening are having fun too. And it doesn't matter if you agree or disagree with some of the things I say, but you know, I mean, hey, wow, I have my own opinion. I have my own say on whatever there is going on in the world. But anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That's my little rant. That's my tirade. That's my monologue, as some people would say. And I'm just so happy and elated to be back on the show. Sometimes, you know, I mean, when I'm off, scheduled to be off for so many days, I get kind of bored and say, hey, wow, maybe I should schedule a show right now, you know. And I just love doing the show. I love it that you're out there listening. I love that you're out there participating. I love that you're out there joining in, because that's what the show is all about. That's what it's all about. I try to play up up-tempo music, lively music, to get you feeling good, to get you feeling good about yourself and about life, because that's what it's all about. Yeah, we have Donald Trump in the White House, but that's no reason to be depressed, you know, because Donald Trump is a billionaire. We're broke, so we can't. And I've always said this, try not to worry about things that you cannot control. I mean, if it's something out there that's going wrong and you don't like it and you cannot change it, do not feel depressed over it or down and out over something that you cannot control. You have to go on and live your life. You have to be who you are. You have to make your own individual happiness. You know, if there's something going on in the world, let it go on. I mean, you can give your sympathy, I'm trying to say. Give them your sympathy, but that's it. You can talk about what's right and what's wrong with it. That's it. But you cannot dwell on something you can't control. Yeah, it's a lot of nasty, rotten, low-down, mean, nasty things that are being done in the world. We can only ponder it for so long, then we have to go and live our lives. We cannot dwell on things that we cannot control. You know, I definitely do not. You know, I mean, if something I can't control, I move on to what I can control, and that's this show. So find something that you can control and feel good about it, you know, and do not abuse your control. A lot of people do that. I mean, you got supervisors and managers, and some of these people out here abuse their positions, abuse the little power that we give them. And that's wrong. You know, some people are not used to having power over people. And so they abuse it because they don't know what the hell else to do. You know, so, but anyway, getting back to the premise of the show, is to, for you to have fun listening and participating. So welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. My guest scheduled for today is Latonya Taylor, if I'm pronouncing her first name correctly. Latonina, L-A-T-O-N-I-A. Or it could be Latonya, who knows? But anyway, my guest is scheduled for the day. She's going to talk about, I believe, her book, The Voice Within. And there's always, always going to be commentary on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And it's just great. It's just great. All right, great to be back. I'm great that you're listening, or you will be listening. Once again, 347-857-1762. We had a caller earlier. I guess they hung up, but I'm hoping that they will call back. If not, then the show, as always, must go on. Okay, I spent a lot of the, most of the time when I'm not on the show, you can always podcast the show and listen to some of the earlier shows. They used to call them reruns, but you know, they're not. And some of the other shows, you can podcast them, listen to them while I'm not on the air or just taking a breather. And because even radio hosts, folks, we have to take a breather too. You know, even though we may love what we do, but we have to take a breather because there's other things I'm doing. I'm also a musician, so I have to keep up with that. And I'm also a, as you probably know, an author. And a lot of times when I'm not on the air, I'm writing, you know, editing and drafting and getting out the mistakes, you know. So it's a busy life for me, and it could get busier. And I enjoy it. I enjoy being busy. I really do. I don't like being sedentary. I don't like being, you know, I don't like sitting, actually. I don't think anybody should like sitting for too long because, as I've said before on the show, your body is not made for sitting. It was not made for sitting. It was made for moving. I was just hearing something on the late news that coffee, whether you have your coffee with cream or sugar, coffee can prevent diabetes, cancer, heart disease, strokes, heart attacks. I was just hearing this. Yeah. The evening news. I'm pretty sure it's going to be on the late news also, all over the internet. And people are going to go out and lug up on coffee because they're saying, the medical industry is saying this, that coffee prevents it or can help in the treatment of diabetes, cancer, heart disease, you name it, strokes. It's coffee. Whether it's straight coffee or decaffeinated coffee, it doesn't matter. And like I said before, I'm pretty sure a lot of people out there running to the store. This is not George Wilder Jr. saying that. This is the medical industry. I'm just relaying what was reported about coffee. So I'm going to start drinking a cup or two. They said that the more you drink a day, the more of a chance there is to curtail some of these deadly diseases. So, you know, I drink about one or two cups of coffee a day. I used to drink four or five, you know, sitting right here in my studio with a coffee on the desk right beside me. And I cut down on it a lot. But since they say it can save your life, you know, I might try it. I'm pretty sure, as you probably will, that I might start drinking coffee on a regular basis once again. you know, I mean, I've got some right here in my studio that I have not been actually drinking. It's just been sitting there. But with this latest report, I'm going to dig it out as soon as we take a break. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, I'm so happy to be back in the seat again. I'm so happy to be here hosting the show again. I feel like a kid in a candy store when I'm on the radio, when I'm hosting this show. I feel like a kid in a candy store, and that's great. I always did love sweets. All right, we're going to do this, and we'll
and
be
we're
right
back.
Back
now with the round table, and I have a feeling you guys are going to have a little different comments than Tom Bossert had about that GIF. Let's look at it again. This happened just as we were ending our other round table. Okay, Anna, I gotta start with you.
I'm a CNN commentator. I think that is unacceptable. I think that is the president of the United States taking things way too far. It is an incitement to violence. He is going to get somebody killed in the media. Maybe that will stop him. I am disappointed beyond belief by the answer that the Homeland Security advisor just gave. What a wuss. What a wuss. You could see that he is ceding his principles. You are the Homeland Security advisor, and you can't stand here and say the difference between right and wrong. That's what's part of the problem. He is surrounded by enablers that do nothing but shake their heads and nod their heads in agreement with everything that he says. They have got to stop. They have got to stand for democracy, for freedom of the press. This is just going way too far. The president of the United States is inciting violence against the free press. And America, we cannot stand for it.
I mean, it is just kind of theater of the absurd, right? I don't think any of us would have thought that this is something that the president, any president, would do. But in particular, it just comes, as you mentioned, right after the shooting of Steve Scalise. Republicans and Democrats said it's time to take the rhetoric down a notch, and this clearly does not do that.
And everyone that we spoke to on the Hill right after that incident said the president was actually quite good on that stage. He was reassuring. He called for the country to get together. He gave a really good speech and visited the hospital to see Steve Scalise. And now this, I know a lot of people who work for CNN who have to be scared and wondering why the president has decided to physically pummel somebody with the CNN logo on his face. So it'd be interesting to get some reaction.
Nobody at CNN is scared. If anything, this is making each and every one of us more resolute not to cower at the bullying of this president. This is a free press. This is a free country. This is a democracy. And if he thinks that with these little tricks, he's going to scare Jeff Zucker, he's going to scare anybody at CNN, he's got something different coming. We are resolute at continuing searching the truth, speaking the truth, and calling out right versus wrong.
And I'm sitting here thinking now, what do Americans think when they look at that? What do those voters think who I talk to in Ohio? I know that when we talk about ourselves and we say, oh, it's terrible that he's going after the media, but that's pummeling somebody from CNN?
Well, I think that my guess is the president doesn't regard this as literally inciting people to violence.
I'm sure he thinks it's funny.
And I think that most people see it and they think pro wrestling is fake. Yeah. And they think that's sort of what he's getting at here. The problem is that it's more juvenile behavior. It's something that most people, including a lot of his own supporters, want him to quit doing, and he can't do it. You know, I didn't agree with the way Thomas Bossert was talking about this, but I think he's right that it is genuine in the sense that he is showing us genuinely who the president
is. This is not funny. Look, there's way too many.
I didn't say it was.
I know, but I mean, there's way too, and he can't think it's funny. There's way too many unstable people out in the streets right now at this time of impassioned and heightened passions. We all know it. We've all seen it. We have seen the results of harassment. We've seen the results of shootings. We've seen the result of violence out in the street. And for the president of the United States, who is supposed to be unifying this country on a July 4th weekend, to be tweeting out incitement to violence. It is incitement to violence. Let us not parse words. Let us not call it by any other name. It is disgusting by this president. Yet one more disgusting act.
If you would like your product, service, or your book to be mentioned on the George Wilder Jr. Show twice a day, 4 days a week right here on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Just email the show or email its host for more details. Thank you. All right. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And obviously, Trump is trying to destroy the legacy of Martin Luther King. I don't think he's going to get away with that. I don't really think so. He's going to get away with that. There's too many people out there who are in love with Martin Luther King and what he's done and what he's accomplished for himself and for the country. But Donald Trump is trying to do that, and they're protesting it. And we'll just have to see where that goes. All righty, let's go right here. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is LaTanya Taylor.
All right, LaTanya Taylor. Great. Okay, you're going to be talking and discussing about The Voice Within?
That's correct.
Okay, give us a little bio. Tell us a little bit of something about yourself, a bio or something short.
Well, I am a mother. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm also an author. I'm also an incest and domestic violence survivor. And that
wow.
is what my book is about.
Oh man, I am such a domestic violence advocate. I mean, I know the problem. I've seen it. I've witnessed it growing up, you know, happening to family members and friends. And I am such an advocate for it that I've written 3 books about it. Actually, 3
wow.
novelettes. And because I've grown up with it. I've seen it. I sometimes walk down the street of my neighborhood years ago, and I used to see it right out there in the middle of the street sometimes, and in the back alleys and stuff like that. And I've had people on the show, guests on the show, who were like you yourself, who were victims of domestic violence, and I've just become an advocate of it, and I have to write about it. I fictionalize it, but you know, there's nothing fictional about domestic violence.
Mm-mm. You're right about that. Yeah, I talk about my journey in the book, The Voice Within. The book is mm-hmm. set in a fictional background, but it's really uh-huh. the story of what I went through. You know, I went through a lot, especially experiencing sexual abuse as a child and never really having the tools that I needed to heal from that. So therefore, when I grew up, I questioned myself. You know, my self-esteem was very, very low, and I ended up getting with someone who it was easy for them to abuse me because I didn't know who I was.
Yeah,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go right ahead. No, you go right ahead.
I was saying that I gave my personal power over to someone because I didn't know I had any. I didn't know I had any right to protect myself because that was taken away from me as a child.
Yeah, it's sad that, I mean, domestic violence is going on right now as we are talking. It's happening. Some young lady is getting plummeted. And a lot of, I don't want to put you off, but I'm hearing that a lot of young ladies and women, young women, some of them put themselves in harm's way. Like you said, you didn't know your power. Some of them put themselves in harm's way. How mm-hmm. would you tell someone how to get out of the situation they're in, domestic violence situation that they're in, through your experience, from your experience?
It's funny that you asked that because I created a workshop. It's called Life Beyond Survival, and it's for people who have experienced abuse. And one thing that I would say is, for me, spirituality was key for me. there's one thing to be with someone who is abusing you and you believe what they're telling you about yourself. But if you come from a place of knowing your worth, and it took me a long, long time to get to that place. But once you get to the place where you know who you are internally, when you know that God is emanating through you, that you are God incarnate, everything that you're doing is a reflection of the God in you, then that person loses their power and you're able to construct a way out. One thing that I would say for someone who's in a situation is to come up with a safety plan. The person that I was actually married to my abuser, and I left with my two children. And 7 years after I left, he remarried and he killed his second wife. So I am truly a survivor of domestic violence. Yes. So one of the things that I would say, like I said, is spirituality is key. You know, every day when I would go home, I would feel like this could be my last day. This could be my last day alive, but I had to resolve inside of myself that I was not going to allow my life to be taken by someone. So I had to mentally play a game where I could not let this person know what I was thinking, that I was planning to leave. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense because you... inside your head, he's still the same person. He's still the same abuser that he always will be. And you're playing as if you are going to, you're going to accept whatever he does, because in your mind, you're thinking of a way out, but you don't want him to know that you're thinking of a way out. You want him to think that you're still the same old person that's going to accept the abuse and say nothing about it. But inside your head, in your mind, you're figuring on how to get out.
Right, right. And that's the number one key that I would, that number one advice that I would give to women or men that are stuck in that situation. Somewhere from deep inside, you have to realize that you are more and you deserve more and who you really are. And then your mind, your body will follow your mind. Eventually you'll get out because you won't be able to tolerate what someone else is trying to do to you, trying to take away your spirit.
Yeah. I totally agree. It's too many young ladies out here with bright futures, great lives ahead of them. You know, I mean, they got everything going for them. They look great. They're young, they're beautiful. And suddenly they meet some dirt bag guy, and all of that just goes to hell, you know?
It does.
I've seen it. I've seen it. A few years ago, I think I was coming from the store with my son, and this young lady that we know from the neighborhood, this is not a bad neighborhood, but we know her. And she was walking towards us, and I'm saying, is that who we think it is? She was beaten to a pulp. Every pore in her face were swollen. And you know, she walked as if she deserved it. She looked and looked at us like she deserved what she got, and not to say anything to her. That's the problem with so many of these women out here. They are beaten, and some of them think that they deserve to be beaten that way. So they don't turn in their accusers. They go right back to their accusers because they feel, I feel that they deserve what they've been getting. And I've overheard this one young lady one day say, if her boyfriend did not abuse her, it meant that he didn't love her. And I totally disagreed with that. I overheard that in a conversation. And I was just appalled. I was like, whoa. So you've got women out here who will stay in these bad situations. They will even prolong these situations. They will even, you know, make the situation even badder for them. But they like it. What do you say to those kind of women who are in this domestic violence situation who feel it's okay to stay in a relationship like this, like that?
first of all, abuse is a mindset. So once you, for me, I was abused so much that I felt like my abuser was God. You know, like I feel like he knew my every move. He knew my every thought because he had intimidated me so much that he was bigger than life to me. And that right there is a false perception. No one has more control or more power over you. And so my advice would be to learn to love yourself first. And a lot of times, especially in African-American communities, the fathers are not there, or they don't give their children, their girls especially, the proper love and nurturing or model what a man is supposed to be like or how a man is supposed to treat a woman. So in my case, I didn't have an example of what to look for, so I accepted anything. And yeah, so a lot of times women, we have to learn to put ourselves first. We have to learn to love ourselves. It's never okay for someone to abuse you, even if it's mental, physical, verbal, it's never okay. And so society has trained us to think that that's the norm, but it's not.
So no, it's not.
I would say that positive things, affirmative meditation, that really helped me. Visualizing where you want to go in your life and the pictures of you, of what you want to see yourself in the future, that's important. You know, that really helps. It helps you to propel you into the future versus accepting what you see now.
Yeah, and I probably would say if you're in an abusive situation, try to get out of it. Don't just stay there. I mean, try and get out of it. Call somebody, tell somebody, because if you're in an abusive situation, you have to let somebody know what's going on. If you don't let anybody know what's going on, then there's no help to be found. You know, you got to want to get out of the situation. But like I said, there's women out here who do not want to get out of the situation, and they will protect and defend their abusers. They will protect them and defend them and abuse them. Yeah.
Yes.
And
so that's when it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
That's when the mindset needs to be change. That's when someone has to come in and partner with these girls or these men and help them to see the value within themselves, because they don't see it. They feel like that's all that they are worth. And we know that that's a lie. So like I said before, the mindset of abuse has to be broken. It has to be changed. Otherwise, they'll get out of that situation and they'll go and they'll meet someone else. And they'll get involved in another situation that's very much like the first one.
Yeah. Yeah. There are some young ladies out here who have been abused. They are so used to being abused. And if they if there's a chance of them getting rid of their abusers, they will go out and look for another abuser.
That's true.
They will go out. Say if one of their abusers get locked up in jail or whatever, or go to jail for 30 years for killing someone, that young lady is going to go find another abuser. And this, as you said, we have to try to change the mindset of some of these women out here, because there's no doubt about it. Some of them actually bring it on themselves because this is what they want. I've heard a lot of women stay in abusive relationships and want abusive relationships because that's the way they were treated when they were small little girls. Their mothers and fathers, you know, whipped them or something, or beat them when they were small, and they grew up thinking that's the way the world is for women to be abused, which is wrong. Which is wrong.
Yes. So my book is called The Voice Within, and it's a very introverted book. It goes through all of the emotions that you feel when you are abused, and then also there's a spirituality piece to it as far as connecting with your higher self and connecting with God to bring you out of it. You know, just it's very transparent. It's a very transparent book that will help other people to determine, number one, how they got in this situation, and then to know that there's hope to get out.
Okay, so where can we find your book? Where is it available?
So my website is Hypnotic, which is HYPNOTIQUE creations.com. That is where my book is located. And then there's also a workshop that I have available to work with survivors of abuse to help with their mindset, to help them change the paradigm and have a shift in their thoughts from negative to positive.
LaTanya Taylor, I think you are an asset, and I think what you're doing is great. And I hope there's a lot of people out there go out and buy this book, because it is imperative that it is imperative and good. I would think good reading, and people can learn a lot from it. You know, because there's always somebody somewhere, and even in your family, there might be somebody that has been abused. You know, so pretty sure a lot of listeners know somebody who has been abused, or if they've been abused themselves. So I think this book is a great, great eye opener, and I just applaud you for what you do.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to come on your show and share my story.
Okay, no problem. One more question. There's a lot of books out there on domestic violence. Why would your books, how would you make your books stand out from all those other books on the same subject?
Well, I think my book stands out because it's pretty much a conversation with myself. So some people, when they write books about domestic violence, they share the story, but they don't talk about what they were feeling. You know, in my book, I talk about how I felt dirty and how I felt nasty and how I questioned God and wondered where was he in these situations. So it's a very, very honest and raw look at domestic violence. And then it also talks about the inner struggles that you have and the things that you need to accept, because you have to accept responsibility for your situation. Now, I'm not saying that you blame yourself for being abused by someone, but you have to take account of how you got into that situation and how you're going to get out. So that's the difference between my book and someone else's book.
Okay, that sounds great. That sounds good. LaTanya Taylor on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Make sure you go out and pick up that book, The Voice Within, The Voice Within, The Voice Within. All right, Tanya, thanks for being on the show. And I, like I said, I applaud for what you do, because domestic violence is really, really something that needs to be addressed a lot more. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, LaTanya Taylor on the George Wilder Jr. Show on domestic violence. And I do agree. I think domestic violence is something that is just shouldn't be tolerated in society, but it is, and that is, it has to change, folks. It really does.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me. You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead. You're on. All right, the phone call was dropped, folks. What can I say? Anyway, LaTanya Taylor, The Voice Within. That was devastating. It really was. All right, exactly why Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting with a Russian lawyer could be illegal. All right, this is the Trump family, Donald Trump's family, and it appears that his son, Donald Jr., I'm presuming his older son, met with the Russians. You know, so I just think the whole family is questionable. I really do. I've said this to some people, and I mean this. I've lost all respect for the White House. I don't have any respect for them. These people in the White House, I mean, if you've been listening to the show, you know that I've been railing against Donald Trump nonstop. I have no respect for this White House. I have no respect for the Oval Office, because these people have just trashed it. They've trashed the White House, the thugs. I mean, these people who don't know what the hell they're doing. These liars, thugs, gangsters, the Goodfellas, the Godfather, all of these people are in the White House and they're trashing it. You know, and in every way possible, they're trashing it. You know, and I just don't respect the White House anymore. I'm sorry. I mean, you may disagree with me, but I have no respect for it. I had some respect when Obama was president, but I have exactly none now. I have no respect. Trump gives a speech, I don't pay no attention. Trump says something, I don't care. It doesn't mean anything to me, because more likely he's lying, or he's spinning, or he's twisting the facts, or he's twisting things and the way he wants to say them, which turns out to be a falsehood or falsehoods. I just have no respect for the White House. You know, it's just me. I don't. It was a lady on a video. I don't know her name, but she was supposedly a Trump supporter. And this is, I've seen several of Trump's supporters talking about healthcare that he is going to take away from them. He's going to take healthcare away from. I mean, a few weeks ago he said healthcare was mean. The bill that they were trying to pass in the Senate, it was mean. He said it was mean, but yet he can't wait to sign it into law. And I've said this several times. He's hurting more of his own people, the people, his supporters, the people who put his butt in office, than anything. He's hurting them. Trump conned his way into the office, as we all know. He conned and lied and spent his way in the office. And he suckered these people in to vote for him. They voted for him. Now he's going to take away their health care. They will not be able to go to the doctor. And if you recall in Donald Trump's campaign rhetoric, he was saying that healthcare was going to be for everybody. Once he was voted in office, once he won, healthcare was going to be universal for everybody. Everybody was going to have healthcare. This is what Trump said. Now he wants to throw 32 million people off of Medicaid. And he doesn't care. He doesn't give a damn. He wants to send it to send him a bill that he can sign. He doesn't give a damn. That's one of the things about Trump. He doesn't care nothing about people. Trump cares about himself. He cares only for his family. And we all know that. He wants you to like him. He wants to look good. you don't like him, then you're an asshole. If you don't like him, that's the way Trump sees it. If you don't like him, you don't care nothing about his policies. If you're saying bad things about him, which are true, that's why he doesn't like the media. The media reports on facts in the Trump administration, and he doesn't like that. He doesn't like facts, you know. So they're fake news. Every time they report something that's true on Trump, if it's negative to Trump, it's fake news, you know, has a lot of garbage on him. And if you put it in the paper, you talk about it, you're the media, you're fake news. And he wants to plummet at you like he did it, like he showed in this video of him plummeting CNN. That was an awful video, folks. That was just terrible. That was beneath the White House. That was beneath the White House. They need to get the hell out of the White House. This is a clown. He's a buffoon. Robert De Niro was right on the money when he called Donald Trump a clown, a buffoon, a con man. And he beg people not to put his ass in office, not to vote for Donald Trump, you know. And that's exactly what Donald Trump is, you know. He may make it. I don't know if he's going to make it 4 years. I don't know if he's going to make it all the way to the midterms in 2018. But I do know this, folks. You got to get out there and vote. Take away Trump's power. I'm hearing that his power has been curtailed already by Congress. I don't know how much of that is true, but I'm hearing that he doesn't have the power that he once had. But I could see that, and I could understand that. I mean, Trump doesn't deserve power. I mean, he's a little kid. He's a 5-year-old child, you know. Anyway, LaTanya Taylor was on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I enjoyed her. I mean, I am an advocate of domestic violence. I think a lot of women actually put it on themselves. But, you know, you got to think this way. A lot of most of the time when you're talking about domestic violence, you're talking about men being violent against women. But there are also women being violent against men. And that's not talked about much, because every time you think of domestic violence, you think of some awful guy attacking a woman. But it's also the other way around, you know. I mean, it's also the other way around. Women can be just as much abusers of men as men are of women. So I wanted to get that out and get that straight. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's still a beautiful day in Chicago. I love it. I love it. I'm glad to be back on the show. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be American. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away. But we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently. When Donald Trump Jr., the president's eldest son, sought damaging research on Hillary Clinton from a Russian lawyer, he may have violated campaign finance laws against soliciting contributions from foreign nationals. I've just, this Trump clan, they're nothing but criminals. and they should not be in the White House. Trump is, I believe Trump is still overseas. Trump is letting his daughter and his son sit in for him at the G20 summit. What? Yeah. He's the president, but he's letting his son and daughter sit in on these things when he should be there. Wow. Instead of having the president of the United States, we got a whole family who think that they are included in being also the president of the United States. This is crazy. You know, these people are violating the White House. They're violating every violation that is capable of being violated. Put it that way. Campaign finance laws specifically prohibit political candidates and their associates from soliciting or receiving anything of value to benefit their campaign from foreigners. In addition, the law bans campaigns from providing substantial assistance to a non-citizen who is trying to inappropriately influence a U.S. election, such as Trump. There is so much on Donald Trump. There is so much on this admission. I don't see why these guys aren't out of office so far. And the only reason why Donald Trump is still in office when he committed so many impeachable offenses is because of Congress, the Republicans in Congress. They are aiding and abetting. They are letting Donald Trump get away with so much. It's pathetic. But I keep saying Donald Trump is going to do something so embarrassing, so screwed up, so undeniably wrong, then it's going to be too late for them to impeach him. And everybody's going to be saying, wow, you should have done this long ago. You should have done this long ago. Why wait now? He's going to do something so obnoxious, so wrong, that it's going to be irreversible. It's going to do a lot of damage to America. Donald Trump is Donald Trump. He's going to do something really, really, I just got that feeling. Because, and if he does, you blame Congress. You blame the Republicans in Congress for not doing their job. This guy is totally unfit for office. He should not be in the White House. They know it. The Republicans, they know it, but they will not do anything about it. They will not do anything about it. I mean, he can't get anything done. He's under 3 or 4, 5 or 6 investigations. He can't get anything through Congress. He can't get any major legislation through Congress because of all of this smoke surrounding his head, these investigations, into his daughter, into his son, Russia ties everywhere. He doesn't know how to appropriately act and look presidential. And as I was saying earlier, he's trying to kill and destroy Martin Luther King's legacy. He's trying to destroy and kill Obama's legacy. These are two black men. Tells you right there that he's a racist. Of course he's a racist. And he's not just a racist against white people. He's a racist against Muslims, Mexicans. He's not just a racist against black people, as I've said, but he is a racist. There's no doubt about it. And I don't think that this man can destroy Martin Luther King's legacy. Martin Luther King's legacy is a hell of a lot bigger and bolder than Donald Trump. He can't destroy his legacy. He may be able to take down a statue here or there, but he will never be able to destroy the history of Dr. Martin Luther King. And he will never be able to destroy the history and the work and the accomplishment of President Obama. So when I hear things like Trump is trying to dismantle Obama's legacy, dismantle Martin Luther King's legacy, I say it's a joke. He can't. These two men are embedded in history. He may go and undo some of the things that Obama has done through executive order. But he'll never undo the fact that Obama actually tried to do something to help the country. I think by Donald Trump trying to get people or make people or try to persuade people that Martin Luther King never existed or Obama never existed, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I'm hearing right now that a lot of people are protesting Donald Trump right now for trying to dismantle Martin Luther King's legacy. And they should. This man is just racist to the bone. He doesn't care. He doesn't give a damn. And sometimes I say, and a lot of us say, who the hell does Donald Trump think he is? He's just a businessman who happened to be president of the United States. Doesn't know anything about governing. He doesn't really want to govern. Donald Trump wants to rule. He wants to rule. He wants us to think of him as our ruler. You know, he doesn't want to govern. He wants whatever comes out of his mouth for us to do. He wants to be able to fire everybody who disagrees with him. If a lot of those congressmen in Congress were working for Donald Trump, if they depended on Donald Trump for their jobs, they would have been fired by now, especially the ones who disagree with him on his health care bill, Trump care, as they trying to call it, Trump care. And my understanding is that Trump care is having a real hard time with it because people are down in Washington on Capitol Hill in droves, demanding that the Senate does not take away their health care. They have kids who need that money for their services for their health. So a lot of people are down at Washington as I speak. A lot of people have gotten arrested already in Congress, protesting care bill, which I think like John McCain, I think is dead. I really do. I think the health care bill is dead. You know, I think Obamacare will live, you know, and but because of the people. It will not be because of politicians. This bill is going to die because of the American people. They've spoke up. They put some action to their words. They went to Washington. They went to Capitol Hill. They got in the ass of these politicians. And now they're calling the bill dead. Donald Trump is saying, send me something beautiful. Send me a beautiful bill so I can sign it. Donald Trump is saying, if you can't repeal it now, repeal it later. He was saying, pass it and repeal it later. That's crazy. If they pass it, they're not going to repeal anything. If they pass it, they're not going to replace it with anything. They're just lying. As we all know, Donald Trump is a pathological liar. He is a pathological liar. This is one of the reasons why I have no respect for the White House. Donald Trump couldn't tell me to walk across the street on a green light. I'd have to look around, look on the ground, to see what trick I'm being a part of. I have no respect for the White House. I just don't. I just do not. And I don't think I ever will, as long as this guy is at the helm. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio 347-857-1762. Hate has no home here. Be kind to one another. It is so easy. I say this all the time and every day because I think it's something that should be said. Be kind to one another. I mean, we're all Americans. We're all in this thing together. Why would we fight? Why do we hurt each other when Washington is trying to hurt everybody? So be kind to one another. Be nice to one another. It is so easy. Being mean and nasty, it just takes up too much. It will stress you out, actually. Being mean and nasty and ornery will stress you out. So being positive, you know, I mean, hey, wow. It will get you to feeling good and less stressful. So be nice to one another out there, folks, and tell them you got it from the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right. If you leave your health to your own devices, you will soon end up on medical devices. So go see your doctor, right? Always go see your doctor. Check out your doctor. Even if you don't have to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. You know, because if you discover something wrong, if you have to discover there's something wrong, if you're feeling woozy or whatever, it might be too late. So you don't want to go to the doctor when you have diabetes. Go to the doctor before you get it. You don't want to go to the doctor having cancer. You want to go to the doctor to try to prevent getting cancer or heart disease or some other deadly disease. Okay. So make sure you make a date with your doctor. All right. I have to remind myself of that too sometimes. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. Facebook, Twitter. I'm all over the place. So you can always find me anytime you're looking for me. You know, I mean, if you want to, let's say if you want to try to advertise your book on the show, that'd be great. I can run your spot on the show for, you know, twice a week, you know, even a month. Just check me out, look me up, and we can talk about it. All right.
Today, the president will release his full budget for fiscal year 2018. From all indications, the Trump budget will seek deep cuts to programs that help the middle class and working America while providing more handouts for the rich. It will cut to the bone programs that help the elderly, the poor, while adding money for an unnecessary, ineffective border wall that continues to have bipartisan opposition. And to make all of the math work, the Trump budget makes entirely unfounded assumptions about economic growth. In short, the Trump budget takes a sledgehammer to the middle class and the working poor, lavishes tax breaks on the wealthy, and imagines all of the deficit problems away with fantasy math. The Trump budget exists somewhere over the rainbow, where the dreams of Mick Mulvaney, Paul Ryan, and the Koch brothers really do come true. Of course, these dreams are a nightmare for the average working American. We expect the Trump budget will make deep cuts to the National Institute of Health and Centers for Disease Control. Let me ask, how many people in America want to cut cancer research when it's done such good? Well, President Trump evidently does. It's his budget. They kneecap research that develops new cures, damaging our ability to contain or prevent the outbreak of disease. We're all living longer and healthier, in part because of this research. We want to stop it, cut it back, so we can give tax breaks to wealthy people who, God bless them, are doing great already. We expect the Trump budget will gash programs like Meals on Wheels. I even read in the paper this morning that the head of the Freedom Caucus said that even for him, some of these cuts were too great. The SNAP benefits, helping making sure no kid goes to bed hungry in America. This is America. We've always done this. And the Children's Health Insurance Program, cruelly ripping away the lifelines from Americans who need them most, the children, the working poor, the elderly. We expect the Trump budget will cut transportation funding, education funding, and programs that help students repay their student loan debt. One of the great problems in America, the debt on the backs, the burden of average kids getting out of college, middle-class kids. We're going to make it harder? What is going on here? What is going on in the White House with this kind of budget? Our college kids, when they get out, they need to be able to live real good lives and not have this burden of debt on their shoulders, which they're struggling under now, and we're going to make it worse. We also, this is amazing but true, the Trump budget will break President Trump's promise to protect Social Security and Medicaid from cuts, both of them. He promised over and over again he wouldn't cut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Medicare is not cut here, but Medicaid is, and Social Security is. On Social Security, the budget will cut Social Security disability benefits to many Americans who have earned them and paid for those benefits. And you can say, well, doesn't cut old age benefits for the elderly. Wait. If they get away with this, the elderly will be next on the chopping block, because the goal, it seems, of this budget is cut everything you can so you can give even more tax breaks to the wealthiest people. The Koch brothers type of thinking. It will also seek hundreds of billions of dollars, additional cuts in Medicaid. The budget cuts Medicaid on top of the cuts that were made in the House bill of Trump Care. And what will that do? Medicaid has become a middle-class program. 60% of the people in nursing homes, Medicaid funds it. What are we going to tell a couple with three kids? Say they're 40 or 45. They have three kids. They're saving for college. They're struggling. But at least they know that mom or dad who needs help is in a nursing home. This budget passes, that family is going to have a terrible choice. Take hundreds of dollars a month out of their own budget and give it to pay for the nursing home, or find a place for mom and dad to live, maybe at home, but maybe there's no room in the house. Awful. That's what they're doing. And who else will it hurt? Opioid addiction. Much of our progress that we're trying to make on opioid addiction comes through Medicaid, because they give treatment. We need both law enforcement. I'm a tough law enforcement guy, you know that. But we also need treatment. I've had fathers cry in my arms because their sons, in this case it was both sons, were waiting online for treatment and died of an overdose. What a burden a parent has to live with. We should cut that, and cut it to give more tax breaks to the rich. It's in America turned upside down, this budget. And how about rural areas? You know, I represent New York State. It's known for its big city, New York City. We have other great cities upstate. But we also have the third largest rural population in America. So I'm very familiar with rural America. In many of my counties, in upstate New York, and this is true throughout rural counties, throughout America, the largest employer is the rural hospital. And that hospital is the only hospital around for miles and miles and miles if, God forbid, you have a stroke and you've got to be rushed there to get yourself better. Well, go talk to our rural hospitals. These rural hospitals, which are the beating heart of our local economy, employing hundreds, sometimes even thousands of people. Well, nearly one in three rural hospitals today are at risk of closure. It's more expensive to run a rural hospital. People in rural areas are entitled to the same health care, so that means buying all these fancy machines. In an urban area, those machines can run 24/7 and get the reimbursement back, but in a rural area, they can't. There's not that many people. But they get some help. The Trump cuts to Medicaid would cause a whole bunch of these rural hospitals to close, and many more to lay off employees, hurting health care in rural America and hurting jobs in rural America, places that need help. The Trump budget, on top of Trump Care, which seeks more than $800 billion in cuts to Medicaid, would decimate health care options for rural Americans and pull the plug on many of these rural hospitals. And some of my colleagues will be talking more about that this morning. When you add all of it up, Mr. President, when you add all of it up, the Trump budget is comic book villain bad. And just like comic books, it relies on a fantasy to make all the numbers work. It's the kind of budget you might expect from someone who is openly rooting for a government shutdown. Haven't we heard the president say that? It's the latest example of the president breaking his promises to working Americans. This budget breaks promise after promise after promise that the president made to the what he called the forgotten America, the working men and women of America. And he said he'd help them, and this budget goes directly against them. In a speech to Congress, for instance, earlier this year, the president called education, quote, the civil rights issue of our time. But his budget guts vital school programs, our future, our kids. He said, quote, cures to illness have always been plagued, he said, quote, this is the president's quote, cures to illnesses that have always plagued us are not too much to hope, quote. But his budget slashes funding for NIH and CDC, where they do this research. And he said, quote, save Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security without cuts, have to do it, unquote. But his budget would cut Social Security disability insurance and end Medicaid as we know it. The Trump budget is one giant, brazen, broken promise to the working men and women of America. It completely abandons them. Fundamentally, this is a deeply unserious proposal that should roundly be rejected by both parties here in Congress. I'm optimistic that that's what will happen. We should follow the same blueprint we did in the 2017 budget. Both Democrats and Republicans, House and Senate, in a bipartisan way, everyone compromises, we should get together, negotiate a serious proposal that maintains our commitments to the middle class and actually sets our economy up to grow. We cannot let the president so turn America inside out with his budget. We have to stand together, Democrats and Republicans, and reject it for the sake of middle class and working Americans. The Trump budget, hopefully, will not see the light of day.
Hopefully, it will not see the light of day. Hopefully, but we don't know. That's why at this very, very hour, people are down there in Washington on Capitol Hill in the senators' faces saying, do not take away my health care. Do not take away my son's and daughter's Medicaid, because they need it to survive. They are all up in these senators' faces, and they are being arrested. They're going to jail, but they know that they're going to jail. They don't mind going to jail because they know they're going to jail for a good cause, and that is to save Medicaid for all. They're going to get to Medicare, folks. They're going to get to it. I'm just jumping the gun a little bit, but they're going to get to it. If they can gut Medicaid, they're going to try Medicare next. Seniors, yes, these guys are coming after you. Totally, totally. However, if we are successful with stopping this bill from passing the Senate and becoming law, then they'll think twice if they're thinking about trying to gut Medicare. You know, but it's people down, and I'm proud of those folks. If any of those folks down there are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I hope you are, I am so proud of you. Stand your ground. You are representing America, And we are so proud of you. Stand your ground, stand your ground, stand your ground. You know, the George Wilder Jr. Show is on your side. We don't need sick people dying all over the place because we got racist and ridiculous, stupid people in Congress who will go for this thing. It's time for Congress in Washington start paying attention to the people. Not to their party, not to the party bosses, but to the people, grassroots people out here in America who are doing the work. These rich people in Congress, they're not doing the work. They're trying to undo the work that we're doing, and we're not going to let them do that. People aren't going to die on the streets. People will not. People are going to get their care and their medicine because we, the people, we're going to make sure of that. And a few senators aren't going to stop that. Is not going to stop that. Oh wow, you know. So I'm just amazed, and I'm so happy that something is going on. People are moving. People are putting action into their words. People are confronting their senators, their politicians, their representatives, especially Paul Ryan. Saying that because Paul Ryan is a careless asshole. This guy cares nothing for people. It just irks me every time I see him on television doing an interview where he's just so adamant about, you know, throwing people off their health care. I mean, he just sounds so good. I mean, the guy sounds real good saying it. You know, he sounds really good. Like he's making a lot of sense and he's making no sense. You know, that's the way a lot of these politicians do. They get on television against everything you and I are for, but they make it seems like they make a lot of sense saying it or talking around it or using all kind of decorative words to say, hey, wow, we don't give a damn if you die. So I am so proud of people being down there today, tomorrow, and until this bill is actually dead, this health care bill that they're trying to ram down our throats, throwing so many people off of health care. It's ridiculous. And I've said this before. Why do people, rich people, people who are doing so well, hate people who are disabled, hate people who go to work every day making a living? They can't stand to see you go to a doctor and get well. And but that's another thing in itself, the medical industry. I've talked about this before on the show, how these people are so how it's such a profit, how it is such a profit. And sometimes I cringe every time I see a commercial come on television talking about all of these, you know, different kinds of medications that you should be on if you have diabetes, if you have cancer, heart disease, all these medications. And, you know, I'm pretty sure you've seen them. Lyrica and everything else that comes on television and saying that if you don't take this stuff, if you don't order this stuff, if you don't get a prescription for it, you're gonna die. That's a total lie. If you order some, if you get some of this medication that they're talking about on television in these commercials, you will die because think of the side effects. The side effects will kill you alone. I mean, if you saw some of these commercials, when the benefits of these medicines are not that great, you know, but the side effects, it's just a litany of side effects for one of these drugs. I mean, there's not even a balance there. There's not even a balance in the benefits or the side effects. The side effects outweigh the benefits. So therefore, if the side effects outweigh the benefits, there's no doubt about it, it will kill you. And basically, that's what they're saying. You know, don't get this drug if you have this, if you have that, if you have this, you take it together, you're going to die, you know. And if you buy one of these drugs that's advertised on television for your diabetes, and you actually start taking these drugs and suddenly you die, you cannot sue these people who sold it to you because they've warned you about all the side effects. They've warned you, but that's a damn shame. There's no doubt about it. The United States has to fix its healthcare system. The medical industry, the pharmaceutical companies, they should stop profiting off of sick people. I just think that's just wrong. For a lot of these people, doctors and pharmaceutical people, the medical industry, I just think it's just wrong for them to profit off of sick people. If you can't go to a doctor, if you can't afford the medications, then you die. Next, this is what these people think. Why in hell in all civilization do we have to charge people to see a doctor? We are, the United States is one of those lone countries on the face of the earth where the medical industry will let you die if you don't have the money to be treated. That's a damn shame. I think two things should be free. There should be no cost of education. Education should be free. You want to go to a college, go to a college, it's free. You want to go to a university, four-year degree, it's free. You want to go to medical school, free. You want to go to law school, should be free. These things you should not have to pay for. You want to go to a doctor, it should be free. I mean, there are so many countries around the world, they don't charge a cent for somebody who walks through that damn door needing some sort of service to get well. It's just awful that the United States, it's because we have Republicans. This is why this is crazy. We have Republicans. You know, this is why healthcare is not free. An education is not free. I mean, if education was free, you wouldn't have, students wouldn't be in all this damn debt that they are in once they graduate college or a four-year university. Once they graduate college, and maybe a four-year university. Most of these kids out here, these young kids, are stuck in so much damn debt, it's a shame. And another question is a college education actually worth it? I would probably say, yeah, it is worth it. But is the debt that your child or my child or anybody's child who's going to college once they graduate, is the debt, having all that debt, worth it? College should be free. Going to a doctor should be free. There is no doubt about that. This is America. We should set the standards. Well, we did at one time, but we should start setting the standard for the entire world. Instead, the world is setting the standards for America, and America is not on board. America is not on board, and America should be on board. This is just crazy. Healthcare should be free. And going to school should be free. Not just public schools, but, you know, I think all of education, I think that way we'll get great teachers, beautiful teachers. Okay, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're just about off the air, folks. I've been ramping on, whatever you want to say. And it's been a beautiful day, a beautiful time. I want to thank my guest, LaTanya Taylor. She was telling us about domestic abuse. And like I said before, it's going on everywhere. Domestic abuse is all over the place. But we just have to try to get people to understand that it's not going to be tolerated in America.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Anyone who never saw. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a crawl. Heaven help us song.
Bye-bye, everybody.